pray. Father, you see us this evening. You know we're small in number. We pray that as we look at this event in Mark's Gospel in the life of Jesus, you'd work in our hearts powerfully, that you'd refresh our faith in Jesus, you'd help us to see him more clearly, that would impact our lives, the way we think about our lives and the world around us, and the way we live, and the way that we trust in him. Please help me to speak your word clearly and faithfully. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Well, are you afraid of Jesus? That's my first question. Are you afraid of Jesus? And you might think, in response to that, should I be? surely, Jesus is gentle, Jesus, meek and mild. And even if you don't think that, you probably think, well, he's a good shepherd. Perhaps being afraid of him seems a bit strong. But then you look at verse 41 in this passage. The disciples were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. They were terrified of him. They'd underestimated him. And maybe we've underestimated Jesus as well. Maybe our approach to him underestimates his majesty, his power. I once had a flying instructor whose name was Mr. Maynard. And it was the last part of my training on single engine propeller planes. And we used up the hours to do aerobatics training so we knew how to get an aeroplane out of an odd position into a good position. And he was a very dull man, Mr. Maynard. And we were dreading this aerobatics. Well, we were looking forward to enjoying the aerobatics, but didn't think Mr. Maynard would be very good. Except that he was absolutely amazing. So he went out in this plane and he just flung it around the sky like a Red Arrows pilot. He was absolutely brilliant. And then we landed and he stepped out and, whoa, you looked at him in a different way. Unprepossessing man, but an absolutely amazing aerobatic pilot. We'd underestimated him massively. And maybe that's the same with how we've looked at Jesus. Maybe we don't see the full extent of his power as we think of him. This passage is going to give us two ways to feel about Jesus. Two ways to feel because of what happens with the storm. And here's the first way of feeling about him. Fear Jesus. Number one, fear Jesus because he is God the Son. So back in verse 41, they were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. But it's not just them. Have a look on the next page. 5 verse 17, the demon-possessed man has been healed. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave their region. Why? Because they're terrified of him. And then 5 verse 33, just the next column. The woman who in the crowd has touched Jesus' cloak and been healed. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. She's experienced his power for herself, just as the people in the region had, just as the disciples have. And she's terrified. Jesus is terrifying. I think that's probably enough spaces on that line to write terrifying in. Who he is and what he can do. When we realise what it's like, he's terrifying. Now, of course, that's not the end of the story, and there's more to say about him than just that. But why is he so terrifying here? What have we got in this storm event? Well, it begins fairly innocuously. He's been teaching the crowds there by Lake Galilee in verse 35, and they want to go over the other side of the lake. And suddenly there's danger as they're out on the lake. Verse 37, a furious squall came up. Apparently this is what would happen, and still does, on Lake Galilee. Storms suddenly appear. I found a photograph on the internet of Lake Galilee, and it was a photo of how it had risen 10 centimetres overnight because of a storm. That's quite a lot, I think. So it still happens today. But Jesus sleeps, verse 38. He's in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. It's a great little insight into Jesus, little aside. He's very human. So we know that Jesus is both man and God, fully human, fully God. And this is one of the verses that shows us that he really is a human being, not just some divine being kind of pretending to be human. He really is. He's tired. He's worn out. He's been preaching or teaching them all the parables. He's tired. The disciples, though, they're not tired. They are angry. They woke up and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care?" Sorry, they woke him and said, "Don't you care if we drown?" Now, it's all hands on deck situation. What's he doing? Sleeping. Honestly. What happens next? It's mind-blowing, isn't it? Verse 39. Jesus got up, grabbed a bucket, and started bailing out the boat with the rest of them. Well, he doesn't, does he? Quiet, be still, he says. Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. It's amazing, isn't it? I don't know if you remember, about a year or so ago, there was a boat called Cheeky Rafiki. And it was a yacht, and it was lost out in the Atlantic. They set out from Antigua to come to Britain, four men, and the boat was lost. They lost contact with it. And then there were terrible pictures that the US Navy broadcast of the boat upside down, and the keel was broken off. And they found on board, sadly, the life raft completely unused. It was a tragic event. And you can imagine what it must have been like for the family, hearing that the boat was missing and then getting that awful news. And normally that's what happens, isn't it, in a situation like this. Normally, that boat would have capsized. The men would have gone overboard, it would have sunk, and that would be it. But instead, Jesus says, quiet, be still, stop. And the wind is quiet, and the waves are still. It's amazing. And verse 40 says, essentially, don't you know who I am? Don't you know who I am? Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? If they did know who Jesus was, it would run slightly differently, this story, wouldn't it? So, verse 37. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples knew that Jesus would calm the storm with a word, so they left him to sleep a little longer, enjoying the roller coaster ride of the storm while they clung to the boat, laughing. Eventually, Peter shook Jesus gently on the shoulder. Teacher, if you don't mind, it's getting a bit much now. He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, okay if I go back to sleep? They were leaping around and praising God, saying, Jesus, you are the Son of God. But they don't understand, so it's not like that, unfortunately. They don't realise properly who he is. Verse 41, who is this? Who is this? They don't know. That's the next title on the sheet. Who is this? And in Mark's Gospel, this is a constant little refrain that keeps coming up. Who is this? In the synagogue, if we go back to chapter 1, verse 21, Jesus began to teach there in the synagogue. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. And then verse 27, the people were also amazed. They asked each other, what is this? A new teaching and with authority. Not quite the same question, but it's basically the same thing, isn't it? Who is this man who can do this kind of thing? How can he teach like this? Over the page there on chapter 2, verse 12, he forgives the sin of the man and heals him so that he walks, the paralyzed man. He got up, took his mat and walked out in full view of them all. They amazed God. It's amazed everyone, rather, and they praised God, saying, we've never seen anything like this. Who's this guy who can do this kind of thing? We've never seen anything like it. So as well as the questions about who he is, we actually get the answers as well. So back to chapter 1, verse 1, the beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. So the answer's there, but also not just there. Verse 11. The voice comes from heaven while Jesus is being baptized. You are my son, whom I love. With you I'm well pleased. So these are kind of heavy clues, aren't they? Verse 24. There's an evil spirit. What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are. The Holy One of God. So as we're reading Mark's Gospel, Mark is shoving this right in our faces. It's evidence. Who is this man? How can he do these things? He's the Son of God. And we're supposed to see this. And we're supposed to see it in the storm, even though the disciples don't. And authority is that key word here. That's over the page on the notes, the A. Authority. He's in charge. When they had the fire at the mosque the other day, we went down to watch the fire brigade putting it out. And someone in that row of, what they call fire engines, and different sized vehicles. Someone was in authority, weren't they? One of those men or women knew what was going on and was giving the word for everything that should happen. Do this at this time and this at this time. And everyone else was scurrying around doing exactly what that person said. They were in authority. And that's what Jesus has here. And as you go through Mark, up here he's got authority over the creation. As he says, be quiet, still. He's got authority in his teaching, we just heard back there, in sickness as he healed the man who couldn't walk. Authority over death and sin. They all come up in Mark's gospel. It shows who he is, Son of God. Now, how do you respond to that? How do you respond if you meet someone who's a man and turns out to be the Son of God? I suppose terror and fear is the right response, isn't it? Again, we've dulled it down. We're so used to the idea, we just don't think of that. But to turn around and go, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. And to be terrified of the man, that's actually a fairly reasonable response. They've got it right, in a sense. Who is Jesus? Well, lots of people say different things, don't they? So some people would say, I don't think he existed. And we want to point them to historical evidence and how reliable the Gospels are as that. Some people would say, oh, I don't think he calmed the storm. And we might want to say, well, Mark is giving us eyewitness evidence. And it's a pretty reliable book. He denigrates the apostles in the book. He says things about the apostles that don't show them up in a good light. Well, that's a sign of it being good evidence, isn't it? Because if it was made up by the apostles, they wanted to put them in the best light possible. Things like that. So maybe someone might say, oh, I don't think it happened. And we'd say, no, here's an eyewitness. Someone might say, well, it's not possible. You can't just calm a storm. And we want to start thinking about, well, it would be possible if there was such a thing as a Son of God, wouldn't it? And starting to try and change the worldview, maybe, change the way they think about things. If you determine in advance that you can't do this kind of thing, well, you're never going to believe that you can. But if you allow there to be such a thing as the Son of God, such a person, it would be possible. Maybe someone might say, well, Jesus is not scary, he's my friend. And you can understand why someone would say that, and for many people it's great comfort that Jesus is their friend. But this passage makes us want to say, well, you need a closer look at Jesus, because there is something about him that's more than someone you can kind of control and put in a little box and feel is safe. This is God, this is the Son of God. And before he became a human, he existed before time, with the Father and the Holy Spirit. He was there when creation was made. He chose to become a human so he could deal with our sin. And as a human being, he was like us, but still he demonstrated these godlike characteristics. Fear Jesus. He's God the Son. He's got authority over all things. So that's the first way to feel as a result of the storm. Here's a second one. Trust Jesus. God the Son is the Saviour. Trust Jesus. God the Son is the Saviour. So the penultimate verse, verse 40, Jesus said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Once we've realised what Jesus is like, there's a right way, in a sense, to fear him. But then we can turn to him in trust. And when we turn to him in trust, he says to us, don't be afraid. And we can have peace with God because he's our Saviour. And because he takes away God's wrath and deals with our sin and frees us from it. And so fear and realisation of his majesty can turn into honour and respect and gratitude. I love the bit in Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe where Lucy hears about Aslan for the first time. And she says, is he a man? And Mr. Beaver says, Aslan a man? Well, I won't do my BBC Beaver impersonation. Aslan a man? Certainly not. I tell you, he's the king of the wood and the son of the great emperor beyond the sea. Don't you know who is the king of beasts? Aslan is the lion, the great lion. Ooh, said Susan. I thought he was a man. Is he quite safe? I shall feel rather nervous about meeting a lion. That you will, dearie, and no mistake, said Mrs. Beaver. If there's anyone who can appear before Aslan without their knees knocking, they're either braver than most or else just silly. Then he isn't safe, said Lucy. Safe, said Mr. Beaver. Don't you hear what Mrs. Beaver tells you? Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe. But he's good. He's the king, I tell you. It's great, isn't it? That Aslan is a picture of Jesus. And he's not safe, but he's good. He's not safe, but he's good. And it's a great illustration, really, to help us with this passage. You know, here's a man who can stand in your boat and quieten the storm. That is not a safe person to be with, but he is a good person to be with. Trust Jesus. God the Son is the Saviour. Now just note for a moment, he's not the divine coast guard. That's what the D and the C are there. The divine, you know the idea, got a storm in your life? Jesus will sort it out. And often that's how this passage is used. There's a storm in your life, you've got a serious illness, Jesus will pay you. Calm, be still, it'll all be sorted out. Now, of course, we know that's not the case, don't we? There are all sorts of storms in our lives that have not been sorted out. Like that, anyway. He's not the divine coast guard. There's something much more important going on here, which, if you look back a page in your Bible, you'll see. So back page, chapter 3, verse 20. In the way Mark's Gospel is going, this section, verse 20, happens. And then you've got parables. So the parable of the sower, the lamp on the stand, and so on. And then we're into the storm. So it's really, apart from the parables, it's the very last thing that happened before the parables. And it's Jesus' teaching. It's all about how he's going to defeat Satan. He's accused of being possessed by the devil, Beelzebub. But Jesus says, no. If a kingdom is divided against itself, this is verse 24, that kingdom cannot stand. He goes on. In fact, verse 27, no one can enter a strong man's house without first tying him up. Then he can plunder the strong man's house. He's saying he's not possessed by Satan. He's actually fighting Satan. How's he going to defeat Satan? He's going to tie him up. Jesus is the strong man. And actually what we're seeing here, and not in just this passage, but this passage and the next chapter, is Jesus the strong man? Is he able to bind Satan? Is he the one who can do that? Yes, he is. How is he going to save us from Satan? He's going to tie Satan up. Now, if someone came in to burgle my house, they wouldn't really need to tie me up. I'd probably stand there like jelly while they burgled it. But if they went into Vladimir Klitschko's house, who's Vladimir Klitschko? Yes, as we know now. You'd certainly need to tie him up, wouldn't you, if you could, to stop him, to burgle his house. And Jesus is going to tie up Satan as such. You're going to do that. I suppose the question is he strong enough to do that? And the storm and the next few things are saying, yes, look at him calming the storm. Look at his authority. And then we ask, how is he going to do it? And that comes towards the end of the book, of course, in Jesus' life as he dies on the cross. And so the storm isn't about a storm of life. The storm, if you want to picture Jesus calming a storm, the storm he's going to calm is the storm of death and judgment and sin. God's wrath of sin. That's the storm that Jesus will calm for us. So trust Jesus. God the Son is the Saviour. The BS stands for binding Satan. Yeah. So do we underestimate Jesus? Well, don't underestimate Jesus. Fear him. Stand amazed before him. Realise his great authority and power as the Son of God. And trust him. Put your life in his hands. Someone coming to this passage, perhaps, as an inquirer, we'd want to say to them that the storm shows us that Jesus is God and that God exists. He is God. Think more about him. Will you consider the evidence? Maybe someone reading this might be trusting in Jesus but troubled and have those storms in their life. And we want to say, Jesus is your Saviour. He's the mighty Son of God who has bound Satan so that you are right with God whatever happens in these troubles. Through those troubles, you're safe with him. Perhaps we might come to this conscious of our sin, and we will rejoice in the forgiveness that we have because he's a Saviour. But we also need to remember that sin isn't trivial and that Jesus is awesome. But seeing this calming of the storm is a great reminder that he has got the power to bind Satan, and that he is the one who can do that, and his power works for us for forgiveness. And if we are confident in Christ, then Jesus calming the storm shows us him as the divine Son of God who has authority over all things. And seeing him in that amazing status and with that great power gives us the confidence to step out in our lives in faith, but for him and with him, to answer that call of his to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow him. Who is Jesus? Well, fear Jesus. He's God the Son. And trust Jesus, because God the Son is the Saviour. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that you would open our eyes to see more of what the Lord Jesus Christ is like, who he really is, so that we might respond to him in our lives and with faith and with a right respect and honour, a true godly fear. We pray for confidence in our lives, knowing that that storm of sin and death has been calmed and defeated. He has bound Satan with his great power by dying on the cross. And we pray that that confidence, because of what he's like, would lead into us being more able to trust him, step out in ways of living that reflect our faith. In Jesus' name, amen.